Okay, we're on page 930. No, I'm sorry. At 928. We didn't finish those psukim yet. Okay, we're going to start Pasuk Tezayin. Pasuk 16 at 928. Okay, we're learning about the cities of refuge. You kill somebody accidentally, you have to run to the city of refuge, right? And he's there, he's safe, until the Kohen Gadol dies. If the Goyal Adam, the Avenger, kills him in the city of refuge, he's a murderer. If he kills him out to the city of refuge, and Adam, there's no problem, he can kill him. There's no problem at all. Okay, and another thing we said was that there's six cities of refuge, three on this side of the Yarden, three on the other side of the Yarden. And we said, for two reasons, either because the area was very big, that this area was as big as the 9.5 tribes' size, or, as Rashi says, in Gilead there were a lot of murderers. And we discussed, even though that they were intentional murderers, and that doesn't help for the city of refuge, but like we learned, if you kill somebody intentional, and there's no witnesses, so Hashem makes, you end up getting killed accidentally by somebody else, like a whole... Anyway, it all works out that they needed the cities of refuge. Okay. Now it's like this. This is all if you killed somebody accidentally. What happens, v'imbachli varzel, he called v'yomais. What happens if you hit him with a metal vessel, a metal iron implement, as it's called? Reitzeach, he's a murderer. Meisi masa reitzeach, the murderer should be killed. If there are witnesses, he's put to death. The Gemara says, what happens if there were no witnesses, but everybody knows he did it? So they would bring him into a room, they would fill up his stomach, and they make it explode with barley and all the various different things. The Bezin would kill him anyway. Derech Agav, we mentioned in the past, an interesting thing. Barzel, metal, iron, always symbolizes war. That's why the Mizbeach was not allowed to have barzel. Right? You couldn't have barzel on the Mizbeach, because iron, even in English, you call it the iron curtain. Iron symbolizes war. Okay? So, it says, that everyone said, it says in Svarim, the Barzel is an acronym for the four wives of Yaakov. Bila, Rachel, Zilpa, Leah. Barzel stands for Bila, Rachel, Zilpa, and Leah. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So, question, what's so bad about that? Why does iron symbolize, like, killing and evil, and if it's the four wives of Yaakov? What's so funny? So it says, because the true primary wives were Rachel and Leah. Mm-hmm. Bilhah was Rachel's maidservant, and Zilpah was Leah's, right? Mm-hmm. But if you look at the order, it's Bilhah, Rachel, Zilpah, Leah. Other words, the secondary came before the primary. Bilhah before Rachel, Zilpah before Leah. That's the problem. When secondary things come before the primary things, that's the concept of barzel. And always, the Gemara always uses the expression, "Afil mechitza shel barzel," even an iron curtain cannot separate a Jew from Hashem. But barzel symbolizes the concept of separation, the concept of war, the concept of killing somebody. And like Rashi says, that normally, when you kill somebody, when the Torah, that's why the Torah is saying now, and we'll soon see in the next psukim, when somebody kill somebody, even intentionally, Beis Din needs to figure out that the utensil, the implement you used, has the ability to kill him. Okay? If you throw a piece of paper at somebody and you wanted to kill him, but you threw a piece of paper at somebody and he dies, that's not called killing somebody. That's a freak accident that came from Hashem. And that's what the Torah is saying now. Imbechli barzel he called vayomais, because an iron implement obviously has the ability to kill. So then, Reitzeach, Meisi Masa Reitzeach. And we're going to learn soon in the Pasuk, if you kill somebody intentionally, the Goyal Adam, the family avenger, can even go into the city of refuge and kill you. And he has no sin on his hands.
If you kill somebody intentionally?
No, if somebody kills somebody intentionally, the family can kill that guy.
Oh.
Okay. Ve'im be'evin yad, or a hand-sized stone, and again, the Torah is teaching this because the Torah wants to say it has to be a certain size to kill. You can't take a little pebble, a little piece of sand to throw at somebody and he dies. It doesn't work like that. Your wife turned male today? Oh, she's there. Okay. Page 928 at the bottom, if you get a chumash. If it's a hand-sized rock, which is obviously the ability to kill somebody, okay, or then he gets killed. Okay? Or if he struck him with a hand-sized wood implement. A piece of wood. So the Torah basically is saying on all these things, anytime you do something to somebody that has the ability to kill him, and you killed him intentionally, he's a murderer, you kill him, the city of refuge does not protect him. City of refuge, we learned before, only protects somebody that kills somebody accidentally. Now, what happens? Oh, then the Torah says like this. Girl Adam, the avenger, who Yama says a Ritzeach, he has the ability to kill him, okay? Yamisirasehi has the ability to kill the murderer Befigai Bay. When he meets him, who you meet send he can kill him. Meaning, if the guy ends up in court and the court rules that he killed somebody intentionally, then the Torah says in Chumash, Yad Ha'edim Tia Bay Barishain Alamisi. The witnesses are the ones that kill him because they saw him commit the crime. So in other words, if there's a capital punishment case, a guy murdered somebody, he was brought to court, there was no avenger. You bring him to court, court listened to the witnesses, they ruled that the guy is a murderer. Right? So then, they rule, he gets killed. Who kills him? The Torah says, the witnesses that testified, they are the agents of the court to kill him. That's what the Torah says. The witnesses kill him first. But in this case, we're not speaking that the guy went to court. The guy killed somebody accidentally, intentionally. He ran to the city. Rashi says, Afilu b'teich ari miklat, 930. Afilu b'teich ari miklat, even inside the ari miklat, the guy can kill him. The avenger.
Now I have a question.
What?
Do these laws apply to the Goyim too? Like if somebody kills somebody intentionally?
He gets killed.
He gets killed, but how about all these cases where...
accidental things?
No, I'm not talking about accidental. I'm talking about all these people who are sick in the mind and they're all like schizophrenic and all crazy.
Every person in the world is sick in the mind.
I know,
Rabbi. The question is how much.
Okay, but that you kill a person who is like not in his mental faculties.
Only
if
he doesn't...
Is this law of insanity correct?
You kill him unless if it's somebody that's really so retarded that he doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, but let's go further. Now the Torah is saying there's ways of killing somebody intentionally without even using a weapon. You push him off something. You push him off a building. You push him off a cliff. Now, what happens if he pushed him out of hatred? Or he hurled upon him from ambush. I mean, he ambushed somebody. The guy was walking, he ambushed him, and the guy died. Or... Be'eva he called Vayomus, or out of hatred, with his hand, and he killed him with his hand. Vayomus meitzi masa maka, the one that did it. Reitzeachu, he's a murderer. Girl, again the same pasuk. Girl Adam Yomus is a reitzeach. Befigabe, the avenger has a right to kill him, meeting him anywhere he meets him. So if you see that the guy killed somebody intentionally, and you're the relative, you have the right to kill the guy.
What if you're not the relative?
Then you're not.
This relative that kills him, to what length does he have to go to prove that he did it on purpose? Let's say he goes into the city.
Well, the only problem is if they prove against the relative that he killed an innocent person, then he would get killed. And in other words, when the girl Adam is killing the murderer because he murdered a relative of his, that's he killed him. And then they prove that it wasn't done intentionally, it was done accidentally.
Right. Yeah.
So then the avenger gets killed. Because he killed an innocent person.
What level of proof do you need?
You need a very strong proof. Because, again, if Bezdin or somebody will prove that the Goyal Adam killed an innocent person because that guy did it accidentally and he shouldn't have been killed, if it's in the city of Ari Mikla, then he would get killed.
But my question is, well, at the point he killed him, right? So does
he saw it was an ambush?
Does he have to prove that he did that the guy did it on purpose, or does Bazin have to prove that the guy didn't do it on purpose?
Whose burden to prove it? He probably would have to prove that the guy did it intentional.
So there had to have been Asra and
no, not Asra.
But
here, because if it's in order to have warning and that Bezdin deals with. This is the unique din of Goyal Adam. The Goyal Adam can kill him without any warning. Okay. Vim Befesa, what happens suddenly? Without Eva, without hatred. Hadafi, he pushed him. Was it by mistake? They're standing together and by mistake you push somebody off the cliff. Or Hishluch Olav Kli Baleitzadiyah, or you hurled an implement upon him without an ambush. Or b'chol evan, or a little stone, asher yomuz ba'beleira eis, that he did it and he didn't see, he didn't want, having seen, and he caused the vayapal of a yomuz, b'hula ayev lei, and he didn't hate the guy, b'lei mevakesh. You know, this is a real accident. You don't hate the guy, you didn't mean to do it, you didn't want to do it, it was a total accident. Then, the Torah says like this, v'shavtu ha'eda, the assembly, meaning Bezdin judges, between Bein HaMakov and Goyal Adam, between the Avenger and the Goyal Adam. That means Bezdin has to see what the story is. They have to judge the guy. Alam Mishpatum Elan, these dins. Ve'itzilu ha'eda. And then the Bezdin would save the Ratzeach Miad Goyal Adam. In other words, like what happens, the Torah is saying, the Torah is putting a whole bunch of dinim together. Bottom line is, the Gemara says, based on all these psukim, you kill somebody, the first thing you do to run city of refuge. Okay? If it could be proven you did a bemazid, intentionally, the avenger, the family relative, can kill him. If not, if it was accidental, Bezdin will take the guy to court. Bezdin will judge if it was accidental or intentional. How do we know if it's intentional or accidental? So the Torah give a few criteria. If it wasn't an ambush, you didn't hate the guy, it was done in a way that totally accidental, you pushed him off the cliff. People saw that by accident you pushed somebody into the water and he drowned him, whatever, you know. So in those cases, the Torah says, the Bezdin will judge, the Bezdin will, v'itzilo ha'eda, the Bezdin will try to save him, eseretzeach miyad goyal adam, Ve'shiva Eise Ha'eda, and then Bezdin will return him to the city of refuge. Because he still killed somebody accidentally. He still has to run to the city of refuge. But the Goyal Adam, the avenger, wants to kill him. And the court is ascertaining that it was done accidentally. So they're not going to let the Goyal Adam kill him. Bezdin will bring the guy back to the city of refuge. Right? And then he stays there, like it says, until the Kohen Gadol dies. No, Chav Gimel. But by the way, if you remember in Sanhedrin, we just learned these psukim. The Gemara learns out from here that a bezdin to kill is 23.
So why
1 second, because it says the shavto ha'eda, eda, a community is 10. I'll explain why in a second. V'itzilu ha'eda. And then it says the Eid has to be able to save him. That's 20. And then the Gemara says you need 3 for because you need another 2, whatever, and then the third shouldn't be an odd Bezdin, it should be not an even Bezdin. In Halacha, there's no such thing as an even Bezdin. In the American system, a jury is 12 people, so you can have 6 and 6, it's a hung jury. Right? That's an American law. You have a jury for a murder trial. If it's 6 and 6, it's a hung jury.
It's a hung jury at 11 and 1.
Huh? No, okay, but I'm saying if it's 6 and 6,
the case is dismissed.
Then you have, you can't judge because there's no majority. In halacha, there is no such a thing as an even bezdin. Minimal bezdin for a certain dinim is 3. Then to kill somebody, 23. And the Gemara learns out because it says v'itzilo eda v'shavto eda. Okay. Mm. But okay, it says Shaftu ha'eda v'yitzilo eda. From here, the Gemara learns out a lot of dinim. Number one, the word eda means 10. How do we know? The Gemara says minayin le'eda. How do we know an eda community is 10? So the Gemara says we learn out from the Meraglim. Because by the Meraglim it says he badlu mitecho eda hazeis v'achala esim kadoga. Hashem said to Moshe, get away from this bad people over here and I'll kill them. How many bad spies were there? 10. Because Yeshua and Kaliv were good. Right? So when it says, he badlu mitecho eda hara azay, separate yourself from this bad community, the Torah uses the word eda. How many people were there? 10. So from here we learn out the word eda. By the way, that's the source that a minion is 10 people from that pasuk. Because it says by the spies, the 10 spies is called eda. Community, so therefore we learn how to minion the 10 Jews. Here the Torah says, v'shavto eida v'tzilo eida, they have to judge, and they have to be able to save him. It's 20, and then the Gemara says, with the two reasons in the Gemara, the two opinions, but you need another 3 to make it 23.
Why not 1?
Why not the Gemara one? Learns that you need another 2, and then you can't have a bezin shakel, whatever.
Where does it sit? I thought it sits, they could sit in the
The Bezdin?
Yeah, I'm this big man, 23.
They could sit anywhere. It doesn't matter where
so
they
why
are.
Why do they have to take him out?
It depends where the Bezdin was. If the Bezdin wasn't sitting in Eir Miklat, in order to have a Bezdin of 23, you needed a certain size city, whatever.
Okay. Self-defense is which one? Is it intentionally or unintentionally?
Self-defense is no problem. If somebody wants to kill him first. That's what it says. Habala hargacha, hashkem v'harga. If somebody comes to kill him first. Now, there's another interesting thing we learn out from this psukim. The Torah says you have to judge him and save him. Which means a bezdin needs to be in a way that you can save the person. Because the Torah says, v'shaftu v'hitzilu. They have to judge him and be able to save him. This is one of the reasons the Gemara says, also in Sanhedrin, brought down the Shulchan Aruch, like we discussed this once before, that a witness cannot sit as a judge. In murder cases, in capital punishment, if a witness witnessed a murder, he cannot sit as a judge. What happens, one of the members of the Bezdin of 23, yeah? They saw the murder happen. They cannot sit as a judge. So the Gemara says, why not? B'cheda, that's the best part. Why do you have to hear it from strangers? You see it yourself. I mean, what's better than that? So the Gemara says, because the Torah says, you need to judge and you need to be able to save. If you saw the murder, you will never be able to save him. When you hear witnesses, you might hear opposite witnesses, contradictory witnesses. Right? So then you'll be able to save the guy. This guy, these two witnesses say, Reuven killed Shimon. And these two witnesses say, no, Levi killed Shimon. So then you have two against two, there's no witnesses, and you don't have anything. But if you saw it, there's no way you're going to be able to find favor. What?
But what happened if the guy deserved punishment? He killed someone, so why is there to save?
And if somebody killed somebody accidentally, or intentionally, and nobody saw?
That's free.
Why should he go away free? That's what
he
said. God will take care of him. God will make that guy will be at the bottom of a ladder and somebody else will fall on top of him and kill him. That's the way God works. Well, the Kim Ino Liyadi. What?
The case of negligence. Where does it fall?
What do you mean? Negligence? Murder?
Yeah.
That's mazed.
Is it?
Yeah. Like what? Give me a case.
Car accident.
Car accident, generally speaking, could be ruled accidental unless if you're planning a head-on collision.
If you drive recklessly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're driving recklessly. If you go through a red light or something like that.
Negligence would be like leave the like a gate of a, like a, for an animal to...
Yeah, you got your pit bull and you leave the gate open.
That would be negligence. And it would
fall
on the
Mezid
category?
The what?
It falls on Mezid
Yeah, negligence is mazid. Negligence is pshia. Pshia is negligence. Huh?
Isn't it karv lemazid?
What karv lemazid? Pshia? It depends. Most pshia is not karv. Most pshia is mazid. Sometimes you have a shegi karv lemazid, shegi karv, whatever, the various different gedorim.
Is it intentional?
What?
Is this where we learn if 23 say guilty, he goes free?
Yes, yes, that's, you're right. This is another source that the Gemara says that this is a very strange din. If all 23 say guilty, a Bezdin of 23 gives out capital punishment, yeah, you're very good. If the whole Bezdin says 23, all 23 say guilty, the guy's not.
He's not?
No. Because the Gemara says, based on this pasuk, Vishaftu vihitzilu. They have to judge and save. If not one guy can find a good in the guy to save him, then something's wrong with the whole Bezdin. That's also, yeah, this is also learned from this pasuk.
Also, Rabbi, it says when Gadol, who's anointed, dies, that means this only could work in the time of first Beis HaMikdash? Does the second Beis
HaMikdash? First of all, we didn't get that pasuk.
No, we didn't.
We didn't finish it yet.
Oh. What is the job of the Shoftim? They wanted the truth. If the truth is guy is killing somebody, what's the reason that they cannot kill him? What's the job of judge? To find out the truth.
Yes.
So if the truth knows that guy is,
but if the Torah says, it's interesting. If all 23 say guilty, it's not the truth. Somebody's lying.
Yeah, but then they could use the whole stomach exploding thing.
Maybe Bezdin would. They probably, I don't know, maybe they would, but Bezdin can't put them to death.
What's the source for that Bezdin could do that? Just go do their own thing.
That's what they, who they bring it down here. Tezvav, this is from the Rambam in Hukos Ritzayach. Okay, if there was no, the guys know that they did it, but there was no warning. What happens if the witnesses that saw the murder, but the guy wasn't warned? Okay, so, or they two witnesses saw separately, not one in front of the next. Because two witnesses have to be able to see each other. What happens if, the whole law of witnesses is really strange, it's the whole thing doesn't make sense. If one witness saw from the back window, and one witness saw from the front window, and the two witnesses couldn't see each other, that didn't have a din of witnesses. The witnesses had to see each other testify what they saw. If one witness is standing here and saw a murder in the street, and the guy was standing across the street at a Mercedes place, whatever, and saw the guy in the street, but they didn't. The two witnesses couldn't see each other. They didn't have a din of witnesses. The whole witness doesn't make sense. It's exactly a cost.
What if the witness is a relative?
Also no good.
And he wants to go and also kill the guy. Is that possible? He's both witness and wants to go and kill.
Yeah, he can go kill the guy because he's a girl of them. But what's interesting is, if Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, very nice Jews, they would never lie. If they walked in the street and saw a murder take place, they were not kosher to come to Beis Din to testify. Only one of them could come. And if only Moshe and Aaron saw the murder and nobody else in the world saw the murder, the guy goes off free. Moshe and Aaron are not going to lie. The problem is their relatives, and relatives are not kosher witnesses, period. That's it. There's no logic, there's no reason, nothing.
I was under the impression also that if they are relative of the...
If they're relatives of the murderer. Yes, also not kosher witnesses. If they're related in any way to each other, or to any... And then we learned the din. If you have 100 witnesses, and one becomes not kosher, Okay, one's a relative. 100 relatives watched the murder to testify. And one of the 100 was a relative to another guy. Eide shebotla miksasa, botla kula. The witnesses, if the part of him are no good, all no good. If they had a mind to testify. That's why we said many times, when you go to a chuppah, when they call up the witnesses for the Kedushin, for the Arayat Mekadesh, so you call up witnesses. So they designate two witnesses. Yeah? Why do they need to call out the names? And some rabbis even add more. They say, to the exclusion of all others. They say even, they add, to the exclusion of all others. Even though Abidin, if you're Miyachad Ha'edim, you designate Reuven and Shimon to be witnesses for the ring, it's good enough. What's the problem? Why do you have to do that? Because under the chuppah, when the chassan is giving the kala the rings, you have the parents are there, and the brothers are there, and the sisters are there, and another bunch of relatives there. So if you can have, let's say, 10 witnesses watching the ring giving, even one relative would disqualify all of them. So you don't have any witnesses to the Kedushin. So what do? By designating these two witnesses, you're basically saying, nobody is looking at it as a witness. Only these two. So they can't they're not disqualifying you because they're not witnesses. You disqualified them from being witness. Therefore, what's the din? Let's say Moshe and Aaron saw a murder. Moshe or Aaron go to Bez and the other one goes home. Because then you have one witness, which is kosher. But if they're going to go together as relatives, the whole thing is going to become disqualified. I feel it's a problem, number one, but the why it's not such a big problem, because they're signing it on the back.
It's not important.
It's a part of
if they sign, no, so what's on the back? If they sign it on the front, you have a problem. If you sign it under
two witnesses.
Right. It would be a problem.
They just signed it. I don't think they signed it as a witness.
I understand, but if they have intention of signing it as a witness, it could be a problem. But if they sign on the back, it's not a problem. You're signing on the back. Yeah. By a lot of Sfardim, there's a minig that everybody, the mothers-in-law, all 10 of them, sign.
You have 10 mothers-in-law?
Everybody.
So again, what was the source again for...
It says in the Maimon, it's Chassid Tzeach. Here. So if they, let's say the two witnesses don't see the guy together murder. This guy sees this one, they don't see each other. They brought him into like a tower. A very narrow place. They would give him lechem tzar, they'd give him dried bread. Maimim, sort of limited amount until his stomach shrunk. Then they would give him sa'edim barley, that it would blow up the stomach. And it would cause him to die.
What's the biblical source?
Huh? V'ein lohaya b'shum aveir ela b'shvichas damim bilvad. This is only for murder, not for any other thing. If it was not murder, they would let him go.
Ah, so Shabbos they wouldn't do.
No. They wouldn't do it for gil arayi, shvichas damim. Not gil arayi, it's not aveir zara, nothing.
I didn't get that.
No, I'm saying if there's no witnesses, or there's two witnesses, and they didn't warn the guy, so Beis Din can't kill him. Or there are two witnesses, but the witnesses didn't see each other. So obviously it was done, but Beis Din can't kill him. So what they do is they take him into this room, they shrink his stomach, and then they blow it up with the barley, and then he dies.
But who does it?
Beis Din.
The baby?
Is there a biblical source, though, for this?
Is there
a...
Talmud is...
No, the Talmud is...
But in both cases, they killed. What's the difference?
Yeah, but it wasn't official... the truth is, what I think, and I didn't see this, but it could be, that when Beis Din kills you officially, that itself is the kapara. If Beis Din doesn't kill you as an Einish Beis Din, as a punishment of Beis Din, they did it that you shouldn't keep going around killing people. So then it was to keep the world safe. Understand? Le Marshall, there's a din that Bez Din can't kill you only for Avedis, that the Torah says you get killed, right? Capital punishment, Shabbos, Gilarai, Shvichazdam, I mean, you know, the main mitzvahs. What happens, though, if Bez Din, this is what the Gemara says, and Shulchan Aruch brings it down, what happens if Bez Din sees there's an epidemic of stealing? It's getting out of hand. And they can't stop it. So Alpidin, Bez Din has a right to say, the Torah gives Bez Din a right to say, the next person that steals is getting killed. Bez Din has that right. Even though for stealing you don't get killed. But to stop an epidemic, the Torah gives Bez Din the authority to do it. If that's still, I mean, you're talking about Tzaddik, and Bez Din is, you know, holy people. If they feel that the only way they can stop it, I'll give you a mush of this. I don't know how many of you people are around in those days. If you remember the riots in the 60s in New York and Chicago and Los Angeles, remember the 60s, yeah, the later 60s, 68. I wasn't either, but I remember it. So over there, in New York, was a mayor called Lindsay. And Lindsay said, let them, don't stop, you know, just let them go. And the riots went on for a few weeks, till finally they stopped. The Chicago had Mayor Daley. He was a mafia guy, you know, Al Capone guy. The Chicago Mayor Daley was tough. He told the cops, shoot to kill. The riots stopped in a half an hour. Wow. He said, shoot to kill. And I think they killed one or two people. And that was it. Everybody was afraid to do anything. In New York, they let him go. They kept going for weeks. Torturing, burning, looting, whatever.
It happened to
sometimes the Torah says, and this is really our people in the Torah, if there's an epidemic that the says in Shulchan Aruch brings it down, the only time that you can stop it is by killing. Bez Din has that authority. Bez Din has to be careful. I mean, it's not Gustam going killing people.
But that being said, there was a case, I don't exactly remember what the specifics were, but the Bez Din said there's an epidemic, and so they backed away and they stopped enforcing. I don't know whether it was thievery or there was something.
Bez Din can't do that.
Even the Gemara.
I don't remember. Because here the din is the opposite. Bez Din sees that they have a right to go beyond the law. Okay. Vaited. By the way, we mentioned this before. If Bez Din rules that the guy killed him accidentally, right, and they have to take him to back a city of refuge, they make sure that he has safe passage, that the Goel Adam can't kill him. Because we learned before, if the guy sees him outside the city, he can kill him. But in this case, Bez Din makes sure that it says the Yitziloei, that they have to make sure. V'yashiba Pasik Chofay, in the middle of Chofay. V'yashiba, he sits there at Mesa Kohen HaGadol, until the Kohen HaGadol dies. Hashem Moshe Chayitzeh B'Shemen HaKadosh, which he was anointed with, you know, the holy oil, the sacred oil. Now Rashi says, it doesn't say who anoints him. Obviously, the Torah is supposed to say, but Rashi brings down, also from the Gemara Makis, that what happens if before the judgment was finalized, that he did it accidentally, the Kohen Gadol died.
Interesting.
And then they ruled that he did it accidentally.
Forever.
Huh? Forever. No, this Rashi says,
they came free?
No, he has to wait for the second Kohen Gadol to die. Oh. Even though he did the act during the first lifetime of the Kohen, and he died, you have to wait for the second one.
Why is the pasuk saying that it has to be Shemen HaKodesh? I mean, why the Mishnah here? Kohen Gadol, by definition, is being anointed. So why the pasuk here is being anointed?
Why the Torah says what?
That he has to have been anointed. The Shemen HaKodesh.
Yeah, but in second Beit HaMikdash,
Masha Hotel. I mean, by definition, Kohen Gadol is Masha.
How is your Kohen Gadol?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Did we have anointing oil in second Beit HaMikdash?
They didn't. But the Sephorna says, and he brings on, the Sephorna says an interesting thing. In accident itself, you have different levels. You have closer to intentional, closer to, it's completely like different levels. So the Sephorna writes, everything's Ashkocha Pratis. If you're more guilty, Hashem's going to make the Kohen Gadol die later. That means you're going to have to be longer in Golus. If it's less guilty, then the Kohen Gadol... So obviously, it doesn't mean the Kohen Gadol is going to die because of you. It means, it's very funny, Hashem's going to make the happening happen at this and this time, because then the Kohen Gadol is going to die earlier or later. That's what the supporter writes. And he says, that's why it's dependent on Meis Kohen Gadol also, beside all the other things. In fact, the Klei Yochid says that why it's until the Kohen Gadol dies, because people are blaming the Kohen Gadol that, look, these things are happening in your, under your rulership. Aaron HaKohen is Eiv Shalom, Reid of Shalom, making peace and not making all these things happen. Like we learned, he brings down, Mamlois brings down, that Rabbi Shuv and Levi used to come to Rabbi Shuv and Levi. And one time in his community, outside the community, a lion ate up a person, and Eliyahu Navi didn't come. Okay? Now, obviously, everybody in the city of refuge would daven for the Kohen Gadol to die. Because they wanted to go back to where they came from. So the mother of the Kohen Gadol would bring them food and clothing and presents that they shouldn't do it. And he says, the various reasons why you wait to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol should have davened when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, that this should have never happened. The Kohen Gadol is the one that brings the Shekhinah down amongst the Jews, and now the Shekhinah left the Jews because somebody killed somebody. But the bottom line is, it's exerts a cause of until the Kohen Gadol dies.
How come Adam's sons, they didn't get punishment? He killed his brother, he didn't get punishment.
First of all, it was before Matan Torah. Secondly, Hashem told them, 7 generations later, you're going to get killed. Lamech killed them.
After 7 generations?
Yeah. Shivasayim Ukam Kayin.
Has any Kohen Gadol ever lived that was higher than Aaron HaKohen?
That was what?
In Kedusha?
Greater than Aaron HaKohen?
Any Kohen Gadol ever?
I doubt it.
No. But in the time of Aaron HaKohen, so many things happened.
Why, people died accidentally?
No, the Korah story,
so many
people got killed.
That Hashem killed them. It wasn't that people were killing each other. Hashem killed them.
Rabbi, they had a Kohen Gadol that lived...
Yochanan and Kohen Gadol lived 80 years.
So, 80
years... No, I'm sorry, he was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol for 40 years.
Okay, so 80 years, the guy couldn't get out.
Yep. You're right. Whoever killed somebody accidentally in the days of Yechon and Kohen Gadol had a problem.
He didn't come back anymore.
Yep.
But it was not like that. They were in jail. They were in another city.
You're kidding. The Rebbe had to go with them. They had to v'chai b'hem. They had to live there properly.
They can be married there and they can have children there?
Well, if they had a wife, they can go. The wife can go there too. I mean, the family moved to Ari Miklat, that was it.
It's still Galut.
It's still Galut because you're confined within a certain area.
Emotion.
Is they working or just eating?
Gemara says, in certain respects, Galut is worse than death. Gemara says Galut. But that's why Galut is kapada. intentional killing, the kapara is getting killed. In accidental killing, the kapara is going to golus. That was the kapara. We said many times that the punishments in Torah are not punishments for the sake of punishment. It's a punishment for the sake of cleansing, of purification. So if somebody ate chazen, they were warned, whatever, and they got whipped, the lashes was mechaper with the sin that the person did. That's why, by the way, in a certain respect, it's worse if you don't get punishment, because then you don't really have the kapara. Then you don't get the forgiveness. But see, the problem over here, that we learned many times, because these punishments were given by Beis Din, tshuva is not going to help. Tshuva doesn't help for punishment given by Beis Din. Punishments of kares, misa b'dei shemayim, that Hashem kills you, tshuva helps. But not punishments of Beis Din. Doesn't help.
And these days?
Huh?
And these days?
The b'chad is no punishment of Beis Din.
Right.
So you need tshuva.
But tshuva works?
Yeah, when there's no... No, what I'm saying is like this. If you ate chazer, you were warned, and Beis Din has to give you malchus, and you're doing tshuva, Beis Din will still give you malchus. If you killed somebody, you're dead in Michal Shabbat, whatever the capital punishments are, yeah? And you're going to come along and say, oh, I'm doing tshuva, and you start crying and going, great. The halacha is tshuva doesn't help. Beis Din's going to kill you anyway. Or give you malchus anyway. Mitzvah b'dei shemayim or karis, then Hashem, if you do tshuva, Hashem will not... Karis, you die before 50 or 60. So Hashem will make that you don't... if you do tshuva, you're not going to die. Then you're forgiven.
Is that tshuva doesn't help, or that Beis Din doesn't know that you did tshuva?
Well...
meaning, say someone did a crime when he was 20, and now they finally...
I mentioned this many times. The Neid HaBiyud has a tshuva. The tshuva Neid HaBiyud, a famous tshuva Neid HaBiyud, that explains why by Einish Beis Din, when Beis Din punishes you, tshuva doesn't help. And by Hashem, tshuva does help. Why? See, it's very simple. Tshuva is belev. Yeah? You can have a very good actor that can do a sin and cry, you know, and outwardly it looks great. But inside, they're laughing. Okay? So Beis Din, as the Gemara says, Ein l'dayin ela masha ein v'rayis. A dayin could only go by what he sees. He saw you sin through the witnesses. Right? The witnesses testify you sinned. So the dayin saw that you sinned. Did you do tshuva? There's no way the dayin could know what's going inside you. So therefore, he can only go by what he saw. He saw the crime, he didn't see the tshuva. But Hashem is Bechon Kloyez Valev. Hashem knows what's going inside. So Hashem knows if you did tshuva, then tshuva helps. That's what the Neid HaBiyud explains it.
So if you do teshuva and Beis Din punishes you, then what?
Then you get a real good forgiveness.
Double forgiveness.
Double forgiveness.